O Lord, open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things from your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Today is Good Shepherd Sunday, so we've hence the first two hymns and readings and so on, as have been pointed out. And it seems somewhat appropriate that that be part of the resonant theme of today, particularly when I talk about the obedience of a servant, which is modelled so much on Jesus. It also seems to come together as being good things to grasp as we come into our annual general meeting. Dr. James Allen Francis, some 90 years ago, made the statement, 19 long centuries have come and gone, and today Jesus Christ is the centerpiece of the human race and the leader of the column of progress. I'm far within the mark when I say that all the armies that ever marched, all the navies that were built, all the parliaments that ever sat, and all the kings that ever reigned, put together, have not affected the life of man upon this earth as powerfully as that one solitary life. It's a great statement, isn't it? Very profound. And one that's worth thinking on. And I think it still stands true, even as we live today in a much secularized country. But the question that I want us to think about is what Jesus was like inside his skin. There's only one place where Jesus, in his own words, describes his inner life. He uses two words. And it comes in an overall statement, part of which you've already heard this morning. He said, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart. You shall find rest for your souls." It's Matthew 11. "I am gentle," he says. "I am humble." These are servant words. Gentle means strength under control, and humble of heart is a word picture of a helper who is unselfish and thoughtful. Humble doesn't mean weak and insignificant. When Jesus gives us a glimpse of his inner self, it is gentle and humble. And these are qualities that God wants to see grow in us. But how? Well, it's by a rather an awkward word that most of us go into rebellion over, and it's obedience. Servanthood and obedience go together, said someone like Siamese twins. They're bound, they belong. The best illustration of this is when Jesus said, "I do nothing of my own initiative. I always do the things that are pleasing the Father." In other words, what Jesus said about himself was a demonstration of his obedience. He practiced what he preached. And we see this best in John 13. Where Jesus washed his friend's feet. We must not ignore his example. We read in summary, "Jesus rose from supper, and taking a towel, he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel." What do we discover from this? Three things. Being a servant is unannounced. Jesus never said, "Hey guys, I'm going to demonstrate servanthood. Watch my humility." No, he didn't do that. Jesus simply slipped away from the table, quietly pulled off his outer tunic, and with a towel, water and basin, moved quietly from person to person. By the time he reached Peter, I'm sure there was silence. Guilt at a task left undone had begun to push its way into their hearts. And of course Peter says, "No, not my feet, never." This is the second thing. Being a servant includes receiving graciously as well as giving graciously. Peter wasn't about to be that vulnerable. After all, Jesus was the master. No way was he going to wash the dirt of Peter's feet. This is not humility. Being willing to receive sometimes takes more grace than giving. And I think it's a lesson that we often struggle with. And our reluctance to do so really exposes our pride. Jesus is being firm with Peter when he says, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me. That brings us to the third thing. Being a servant is not a sign of inner weakness, but incredible strength. There is no way to soften what Jesus said to Peter. In effect, he says, if you do not allow me to do this, well, that's it, get out. We don't kind of describe that to Jesus, do we? But that's in effect what he was saying. Anybody who lives under the delusion that Jesus was weak and spineless have overlooked this one amongst others. Being a servant doesn't mean there will never be confrontation or strong words. Jesus may choose to use the words of a servant who has earned the right to be heard rather than some upfront leader. It certainly worked with Peter, and he overreacts, so Jesus brought balance back into it, into Peter's overreaction. He then sat down to talk about what he had done. He said to them, do you know what I've done to you? Now, isn't that a strange statement? I mean, they'd seen what he had done. He'd just washed their feet. But he had much more in mind than the obvious. Jesus always does. He wanted them to think deeply, to learn something very clear-sighted and valuable as an obedient servant. We read, you call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Jesus states his authority, the teacher, the Lord. Now you wash one another's feet. What an order. As I have done to you, you do to one another. That's what he said. This will be the real test of our obedience. And here's the clincher. For I have given you an example that you also should do, just as I have done to you. Now, it probably might have been more popular if Jesus had said, I gave you an example that you should study it on Sundays. No. Or, I gave you an example that you should form a discussion group and meditate on it. He doesn't do that either, did he? Or how about, I gave you an example that you should memorize my words and repeat them often. No, he didn't do that either, did he? Jesus said it plainly. He was looking for action, not theory. I gave you an example that you should do as I have done to you. But Jesus, this is the bottom line. I left you an example that you should do. Carry out my directions. Fulfill my commands. Follow my instructions. That's obedience. Doing what we are told to do. He washed dirty feet and he said, you do that too. We are to serve others. However, we must understand that the right attitude must accompany the right actions. So we think about these things and read them as Jesus meant them. We see the emphasis he put on obedience. This was the difference between him and the Pharisees. They loved the theory. Hypocrisy marked their steps. They talked a good fight when it came to servanthood, but they lacked the one ingredient that could make everything authentic, obedience. So I think about doing what Jesus commanded. Three specifics need to be noted. One, obedience means personal involvement. He said, if I your Lord and teacher wash your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. We cannot serve from a distance. This means if someone is drowning in the sea of trouble, we get wet, we get in touch. It means if someone drifts away, we don't ignore that person. We reach out and help and restore. As far as I know, nobody ever learned how to water ski in the living room doing a correspondence course. You have to get into the water. Didn't work for me even then. And get personally involved. I'd have to say that I did learn to ski in the lounge in theory, but I still fell over an awful lot before I could slide down a snow slope. Mostly on my skis. But think about this. Are you willing to get honestly involved and help at least one person at a time, maybe, in need? Willingness must precede involvement. You see, you have to be able to say no before you can say yes. Because if all the time is that we're saying yes, then it becomes meaningless, doesn't it? Because we're doing stuff because we think we ought to and we have to and all sorts of things, and we resent it. So our willingness must precede involvement. Secondly, obedience requires Christ-like unselfishness. He said, "For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you." Listen carefully to those words. To pull this off, we'll need to see others as Jesus sees them. We need to risk reaching out, giving up the luxury of staying safe, giving up our wants for His. Unselfishness never comes easy. And lastly, obedience results in the ultimate happiness. He said, "If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." And note the whole statement. He didn't say, "If you know these things, you're blessed." Sometimes that would be kind of cool, wouldn't it? But that's not where he put the full stop. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Notice in the final analysis, happiness comes from doing these things. Meaning what? Simply this. We have to serve before we know the joy of serving. Just studying about it or discussing it produces no lasting happiness. The fun comes when we roll up our sleeve, wrap the towel around our waist, and wash a few feet. Quietly, graciously, cheerfully. Like Jesus, who is gentle and humble in heart. Does that mean it will never backfire on us? Am I saying those with servant hearts will not get ripped off or hurt in the process? Does this promise of happiness mean we'll be protected from suffering? No, 1,000 times no. To keep everything realistic, we must face the painful consequences even when we have been gentle and humble in heart. What else can we expect? The perfect model of obedience finished his earthly life as a corpse on a cross. In the next sermon in the series, which will be in a fortnight's time, it will help us keep all this in proper perspective. There are often consequences connected with serving, even when we have been obedient. Father, sometimes I just wish you'd make it a whole plain lot easier. That it would be simple. That all we had to do was think about it. But you expect us to do something. You expect us to be obedient. You expect us to follow after your heart, to sacrifice all for you, and to do that willingly. Lord, help us to capture again the vision of the servant Jesus, who is gentle and humble a heart. Help us to capture that in our own life, and that we would willingly serve you whenever the need arises. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.